All righty, hope for the hopeless, amen. We're going to be talking about marriage today, and what I was thinking about is that we're celebrating 34 years of marriage, and really it was hit or miss bliss, hit or miss bliss. And marriage takes a lot of work. And what got us going down this road is my daughter Kaylee came home several weeks ago, and she has a vlog that she puts up every Friday, and she thought about interviewing my wife and myself and about marriage and our anniversary. So we wanted to share that with you, so we're going to play that right now, and then we'll go into our message.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the vlog. My name is Kaylee Gray, and today I have some very special guests. I have my mom and dad with me, so thank you guys for being here with
me. We are happy to be here.
And we're glad to be here today.
So proud of our girl.
So, tomorrow is my parents' 34th wedding anniversary, and I thought it would be perfect to kind of ask them, what are some things that have kept your marriage, I don't know, going that long, so... What are some helpful tips that you could give us?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is two words, separate vacations. That's always worked for us through the years. They would go off without me and I'd just stay home and work, and it seemed like we got along really good.
Oh my God.
It's very true, but yeah, you're not much of a vacation.
No, what was really important is being on the same page spiritually, and that's not always possible. Maybe you've already married somebody. That's too bad for you. But if you're in the market for somebody, I would say try to find somebody that's on the same page as you are spiritually. It's very important to be yoked equally together and pulling the plow the same direction. And my wife and I are on the same page spiritually. Maybe not on other pages all the time together, but we like different foods and different things. But when it comes to Jesus and
He's spicy and I'm plain.
I like it hot. I like jalapenos. But, you know, that's just been, I just can't stress that enough. We've never had a problem in that area in our life. We've always went going the same direction with God. Just
that's something that was very drawing to me about Brad, is that he was so passionate. Even the first year of our marriage was really kind of a shaky, rough time. And everybody always thought, oh, because you're Bible school graduates and you're Christians, everything will just be perfect and fine. And that's not how it always is. And yet, even in the midst of those hard times, I would always look at his heart and say, I know that he just loves Jesus. And that was such a drawing factor to me. And he was so passionate, so committed, and so, you know, I mean, it was just very inspiring to me.
And that's our story, and we're sticking to it. But during that time, you know, we didn't see the future. We could only see the now. And that's something, too, that's important, is try to look to the future, where you can be. Don't just look at where you're at now. Maybe your marriage isn't where you need it to be, but kind of look in God's Word and be able to see what's possible out there. And go around other people that's marriages are successful. Don't go around people who's wanting a divorce or separated or being unfaithful to their spouse and hang out with those kind of people. I mean, God bless them, they need Jesus too. But find people who believe in the Institute of Marriage. I believe there's two lives that's great, the Christian life, and then the second life is the married life, is the best life there is. And I believe that with all my heart. To find somebody you can pull together with and have that common ground. It's just something to always fall back on.
And when you are going through those hard times, to keep an attitude of forgiveness. And sometimes you have to do it by an act of your will and faith, you know, because it really does hinder your prayers. It really does hinder your relationship with God when you have resentment and anger or anything like that in your heart. And I remember a time where we had an argument and stuff, and I went in the bedroom, and I was just like steaming, thinking, oh, he's just so... And then I just kind of said, but God, I know I have to forgive him because I can't afford to have you, my prayers hindered, and I need you so desperately. And so I can remember praying that and forgiving him as an act of my will, and just instantly... My emotions changed, everything. And I kept thinking, oh, God's going to change Brad. And he changed my heart. And the things that he would say, all of a sudden I saw him as funny instead of taking him so personally. And it was just so amazing how God did that, because it was just a God thing.
Yeah.
You know, that he just changed that heart and emotions. And it was me. And I kept thinking it was him. And and stuff, but Brett has a dry sense of humor, and it, you know, and then he makes me laugh all the time. That's another thing that's been
most
fun.
Of the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the importance of growing together, not growing apart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think sometimes women are better at this. Men, we get so busy and we're chasing after careers and chasing after things we want to provide for our family and busy. And I know with the church here, we build the church, and I was working as an electrician and just spread real thin. And it's easy to grow apart, you know, in your life because you don't find that common ground. And so I really think that should be a goal too, is to try to grow together.
Yeah.
You know,
praying together really makes it intimacy. And having that time together, it really does bond your hearts together when you pray together. And that's something we've always
done. And you don't
have
to pray a long time. Just,
no,
you know,
but I mean, just
make that time to spend with God together. Mm-hmm. And I just need it alone too, but you need it with each other.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know you said, what about intentionality? Like, so you said you had been, you know, building the church. You're also working another job. Mom, you were homeschooling us, also coming out here working and help build the church. Like, what are some things that you guys did to be intentional with each other, like, over the years that you've had to, from just having the church, having kids, life, work, everything? What are some things that you guys have done?
I got nothing. Number one, I got to work. Look, first, I was going to have to look up the word intentionality. No, I'm good at that. No, I really think...
I can't think of anything either.
More of like your date nights that you guys are doing.
You know, a lot of people talk about date nights, and you know, those are good and you need to do them. We never really started doing them until later in our marriage as much. It seemed like we're always running here and there. One thing that I liked is on Saturday night, we'd always get pizza as a family and do things. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a special bonding time.
The boys' ball games.
You know, when I come home from work sometimes or whatever, my wife would be in the kitchen making supper, and I would sit at the kitchen table, and then we would kind of debrief a little bit and talk and just kind of reconnect a little bit from the day. And, you know, it wasn't like we, you know, did anything earth-shattering all the time, but we tried to stay connected. And to me, that was a special time, you know, coming home and talking after you've been away for a while, just kind of reconnect and find out what's going on.
Yeah, I feel like you guys, since all of us have, like, moved out and kind of grown
really
up.
Oh, we had fun.
You guys have, like...
Yeah, we're starting to have fun now. It's going good.
At first, it was, like, so hard because I was thinking, oh, I really miss them. And then it was only, like, a week or two, and it was kind of like we were having so much fun. It was like, this is kind of like dating again, isn't it? It was so much fun, you know?
It is.
So,
it's been.
It was.
Well, good. Well, I'm so thankful that you guys were able to do this with me and just give us some amazing tips. I know I learned a lot just from this vlog, and happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I'm so excited, and I hope you enjoyed this vlog as well. Be sure to subscribe to this channel if you haven't already subscribed, and I will see you guys next Friday.
That was a lot of fun doing that with Kaylee, and I encourage you, if you haven't subscribed to her channel yet, do so, and I believe you'll be really blessed. All right, we're going to look at a scripture here to start with about marriage. That was a lot of fun doing that. Marriage should be fun. You should be able to laugh with each other, not laugh at each other totally, you know what I'm saying? I did that early in the marriage, and that didn't work out so well. All right, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for a special stirring in our spirit today, in our hearts, that, you know, no matter where we're at in our journey or how our marriage is going, but Lord, there's always hope through you. Lord, we just pray that everything that we do today is going to glorify you, and that words that pierce and penetrate are going to leave our lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, and we bind Satan from trying to steal it out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at three different points today real quick. The first point is going to be trust. The second point is going to be balanced expectations. And then the last one's going to be the importance of the third strand. We're going to go through these a little bit. So the first one's trust. And to me, trust is hard to build, but it's so easy to destroy. How you can destroy trust in a marriage. And then I think my wife wants to share a little something about that.
You know, in trust in a marriage, and I think, you know, sometimes you can't always trust the person financially, and you have to discuss that and get that worked out and stuff. But that doesn't break your trust in who they are. But one thing Brad did in our marriage that has always been something that made me trust him is that he, oh, you know what? I don't have it on.
Okay. Sorry about that. Trust is really, the one thing that Brad, though, has really done to help me to trust him is he has never talked about other women. Not even seeing a woman on TV saying, whoa, she's hot. Never heard those words come out of his mouth. He has never made comments or done anything like that that would make me feel less than. And that's something that really has built my trust in him, knowing he's faithful to me, knowing that he loves me. You know what I mean? And that I didn't have to be compared to something or someone or feel inadequate. And I've got to say, that was a big trust factor for me in our marriage with him, knowing that I had that security. I had that in him. And that was really good because, you know, your emotions, you can't always trust. And your emotions are going to tell you one thing. And I'll tell you, Brad was this disciplined person, and I was this emotional roller coaster when I met him. And it's just amazing to me how when he has been a good balance for me, and I think I've been a good balance for him, you know what I mean? But it didn't happen overnight. And so those are the kind of trust issues and stuff like that that you're going to work on throughout your marriage. But you need to know the person's going to be faithful to you. And I think that's really where trust stands first. And that's something he never made me feel like insecure in. And so that's an area, if you find yourself saying something like that, you know, stop yourselves, whether it be the wife or the husband. You know, just know that, you know, the words that you speak, even though you didn't mean them, it was, you know, nothing intentional. Just don't even speak them out. Don't put those seeds of doubt, because then all of a sudden the person starts doubting, your emotions start getting involved. And like I said, you can't trust your emotions. Your emotions are going to lie to you. One minute you feel like you're in love, the next minute you don't feel like you're in love. But love is deeper than that. Love is not just an emotion. Love is a commitment. Agape love is a love that I've chosen in covenant with this person, that I'm going to love them no matter. And that powerful love, and God tells us, you know, you can read about love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, what his kind of love is towards us. And that's the kind of love God wants us to share with our spouse, because just like we're in covenant with God and he gives us that love, he's saying, now that love is available to you to give to this person. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a growing experience.
Amen. You know, your marriage is only as good as its weakest link. And if you're the kind of person that wants to always be right and never be wrong, and you have to win every argument, and you have to cut the other person down to win that argument, you got to think long term, because you just diminished your spouse. You may have won the argument, but you know, you've grown apart, you've lost connection, and then that's going to come in the end, because we need to build each other up. You know, we talked on the vlog there a little bit, but how couples need to mature together. If you don't grow together, you're going to grow apart. A big mistake I've watched in life is, you know, maybe the marriage isn't quite what it's supposed to be, so one of the spouses attached themselves to the kid, which is fine, but the kids hopefully will grow up and move away. And when that happens, what do you have left? So you're going to have to try to find some common ground with your spouse. I believe God should always be the first common ground. Now, if the other person's not a believer, that makes it more difficult. Like I said, if you're already married to somebody, you know, God can make it work. You know, because sometimes the nagging question we have, you know, after we get married, did I marry the wrong person? Has anybody, don't hold your hand up right now. Right? But, you know, sometimes we can get that, especially if we're not getting along and we're kind of fussing and fighting. You know, but I believe through commitment to the institution of marriage and the commitment that you made before God and man, you can try to make those things work. Now, I know there's the Bible gives us reasons for divorce and things like that, and the work, and divorce is not an unpardonable sin, you know, but we're today trying to help marriages, you know what I mean? So we're not trying to put anybody down if maybe you've made some wrong decisions, you know, through the years. But for right now, I believe we can go from glory to glory. You know, a couple things the Lord spoke to me about preparing for this is that couples need to be of one mind. You may not always agree, but you need to come to an agreement and stick to it. And what I mean by that is that you're not going to see eye to eye on every decision that you guys make. But when you make a decision as a couple, you need to stick to that decision. Meaning, you don't undermine the other person, like let's say one of the spouses say, we're not going to go do this, and you know, and then you know, maybe the father, he's a bad boner scooter and kind of a bad attitude guy, and so you guys make a decision, you're not going to go do something. Well, then the mom goes to the kid, well, your dad decided we ain't going to do that, and that's just like him. Well, see, you've undermined that thing, you know. Just you need to say that, hey, your father and I decided, we're sorry, but we can't do that right now. We can't purchase that for you, or whatever the case may be. So kind of be together on that. Do you have anything you want to share? I'll keep talking.
Go ahead.
Okay. Next one. If a man has to always remind his wife that he's the head of the house, he's not. You know, and, you know, men need to be an example and a provide and protect and make your wife feel important and loved. And if you do that to your wife, she'll follow you anywhere. And I know that for a fact, you know. But, you know, all comes to the fact that, you know, us men, you know, we need to step up. And, you know, one of the weaknesses I've had over the years, I'm a fast decision maker. You know, I just business-wise and everything in life, I can hear something and boom, I've made a decision, good to go. Well, that's okay in business, but in your marriage, my wife may give her opinion. I think about it for a second. I've already made my decision. Boom, we're on. She didn't feel like I was
honoring, yeah.
Can you tell it in a nice way? Or do you, okay.
No, you just feel like you didn't really listen to me. You didn't even think about my position. And so I feel like, you know, you just blew me off. Why even ask my opinion if you're not even going to listen to it? So that's how I used to
feel. So 5-10 minutes?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
So, no. But you know what, too? You have to understand who you married. You know, I realized that Brad is the opposite of me. And that's what drew me to him. And when you marry somebody who's very opposite of you, then when you have to live with them, all the qualities that you fell in love with, but then you have to live with them, oh my gosh, it's not easy. You know, he was so disciplined and I was free spirited and spontaneous, not disciplined, you know, and we could drive each other crazy. And so we really had to come to where, okay, you're going to set the kids' clothes out the night before, so church isn't going to be so chaotic getting to it because everybody's just going every direction. It just drove him crazy. Whereas me, I was like, that's what I grew up in. It was no problem, you know. So it's just, those are the little things that you have to learn to grow together in. You know what I mean? I'm so thankful that he's brought some of his discipline into my life because I see that and the Word of God has not made me the roller coaster person anymore. I'm so much more even keeled. I can handle things so much better and stuff. And it just makes such a difference. I've seen his heart soften more. He's more, you know, mushy and gushy. Then, you know what I mean, and more spontaneous and stuff. So but it's taken years. And you've got to understand and give the person grace and remember the good things that you married them for.
Okay. Next, we want to look at balanced expectations, how important that is. You know, there's a lot of books out there that, you know, people read, you know, them romance novels and stuff like that. And there's Christian romance novels, but you know, there's not a lot of reality in it. So, and they lived happily ever after is a fairy tale. Don't compare your marriage to the romance novels or Facebook fibbers. A good marriage takes work. There's a lot of Facebook fibbers out there. Now, some people are too transparent on Facebook, if you know what I'm saying. You know, but for the most part, you know, I know that a lot of things that they say, they're just saying the good stuff because everybody has some issues. So, you know, you have to balance those expectations. When we got married, she kind of compared me to her dad and the relationship that they kind of had. So, you want to share a little about that?
My mom and dad, I never heard them argue except for once in my whole life. And later, of course, when I got older, I found out they did it behind closed doors. But my dad treated my mom like a queen. I mean, he would work two jobs. He would scrub the kitchen floor, get us kids up, and say, "Your mom works so hard, you know, let's, you know, clean the floor for her, do the windows." And we would all do the housework. My parents were cleaning nuts, though, let me tell you that. So, I mean, I came from that thing and where my mom treated my dad like a king. And so then when we got together and then we started having arguments, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this isn't how it's supposed to be, you know? But it wasn't that it was bad and that it was a wrong marriage, because I did get those thinkings, and I know Brad did first year. It's like, oh, we married the wrong person. Oh my gosh, I'm trapped, I'm stuck. I even called my dad and said, "I'm coming home."
No, you told him to come get you. And he refused.
Well, I asked him if I could come home, but he told me, "You're not welcome here." And he told me, "Nope, you made that decision. You are not welcome here anymore. You know, you need to work it out." And so, you know, and that's what, I'll tell you one thing it did do. It threw me into the arms of God like I never would have been thrown before. And I thought I knew God. I thought I had a relationship with God. But I'll tell you, it took me to a deeper level to realize I need you, Jesus, so desperately. Like I said in the video, I can't afford to have my prayers hindered. I can't afford to, I had resentment towards him. I had, it was like a pit I had dug, and he, you know, was my object of the vision of why it was there. But it wasn't just him. It was my flesh acting out. I didn't want to have to change. I wanted everything to be my way. I didn't want to grow. I didn't want to mature. And that's what God is asking us to do every day, is he's asking us, don't stay the same person you are. Let the word transform you to become more like me. Well, I didn't want to. And so then I threw my fit. I blamed him. I was resentful. And what it did is that when I really realized that, I think the biggest change, well, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, so I won't go there. But it was just a place where I really needed to come and say, stop. You know, God, I need you desperately. And you know what? He hears those desperate cries. He hears our heart. And that act of the will of asking for forgiveness, forgiving him by faith, not by my emotions, but by faith, and saying, I need you, God. That is where the turnaround came, you know, for me. I know it was major. So, and how he changed it. And it was just a God thing. It was just amazing.
All I heard that, to live with me, you need God, out of that whole conversation. No. Anyway, remember to always see something good in your spouse, because everybody can nitpick each other to death. You know what I mean? Like she said, the things that I attracted her to me, then when you have to live around that all the time, you know, it can be a little irritating. And it, you know, so it does no good to look at the bad problems in your marriage. I mean, if you want to diagnose them and, you know, try to fix them, that's fine. But if you're going to wake up every day and your attitude is you're going to start picking on all the faults of your spouse, believe me, you're heading down a road that's probably going to be a pretty rough road to stay on, and because you're going to get in the ditch. You know, even though your marriage is bad, you know, it could always be worse, and how it gets worse is when we let our mind go to those bad places. So try to think, you know, I'm letting her pick on me today because I'm that nice a guy. But anyway, for me, I don't know what scripture she used, but whenever my wife would irritate me once or twice in 34 years, I would quote that scripture, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." And how often did I say that? A lot. You know what I mean? A lot. And I believe in the power of the Word of God and what it can do in our lives. So I would just, instead of letting my mind pick on all the things of, you know, maybe, you know, she mentioned chaos and maybe a little bit of disorganization.
The finances.
Yeah, different things.
I was not good with finances.
You know, I just kept telling myself, because I don't want to be alone. You know what I mean? So I was either going to have to make it work or something's going to have to change. And so I just chose to try to, you know, see the good things. And there was a lot of good things you can pick.
One of the times that Brad, he hated, I only wanted to do dishes. We didn't have a dishwasher. So I'd only want to do dishes once a day. So I would just pile them and stack them in the sink. And it just bugged the heck out of him. And so we went to a Bible study, and there was this 88-year-old lady there, and all the women were kind of complaining about their husbands are picking on them, the house isn't always clean because we have little kids and all this kind of stuff, and kind of waylaying on their husbands. And she just said, well, girls, let me just ask you something. Did you pray to ask to get married and then to have a family? And she goes, so because God gave you your husband and you have your kids and you have to now take care of them and pick up and do the dishes, she goes, God answered your prayer, so why aren't you thanking God instead of complaining about it? Because that's what you prayed for, isn't it? And we're like, yeah. You know what I mean? What could you say? And so I went home and started doing the dishes at least twice a day, and I started doing them, and I just, every time I looked out the window, it's just like, thank you, God, I have dishes to do because I have a family, and I would just remind myself of what she had said and start thanking God. Within 2 weeks, Brad's like, do you know what? I think we should get a dishwasher. I was like, yeah, that's great. But I know it was because God changed my heart. I started changing my attitude, and then God moved, and I wasn't even expecting a dishwasher, you know, but how he blessed that. And so it really does, you know, when you take it to God and start being thankful for what you do have. Brad, one of the myths things, I used to, that first year of marriage, I really did, I thought of him as the enemy. And yet in the midst of looking at him as the enemy emotionally, I could see that he had such a love for Jesus. And that he wanted people to come to know Jesus and be saved from going to hell, and had such a passion, and he was such a hard worker, and I could see those good things in him. So you see, we all have good qualities, but sometimes we do act out when we don't want to change, when we don't want it. So it's seeing that good in the other person is really important.
No matter what it is, amen? Mm-hmm. Growing together, you know, like I mentioned earlier about marrying the wrong person, you know, sometimes after you get married, has your spouse ever changed and they're different than what you thought you was getting? That's happened, doesn't it? You know, that comes by, you know, just growth in each other's life and how important it is, like I said, just to try to find that common ground again about that. You know, God spoke a little joke thing to me, and it says, God can change your life when God can change your wife. Amen, guys? So just kind of pray that, you know, but get Jeff to run in here in a minute. Yeah. But anyway, you know, here's what I found, and don't just pray that God changes your spouse. Pray that God changes you. Because that's really what it's about. I know, you know, we can pray to change our spouse. We want our spouse to be blessed, right? You should. You should want your spouse to be happy. You should want them to be a spiritual giant. You should want to, because, you know, you want somebody that's on your team, you know, to use a sports analogy, you know, that is strong. So you want to try to build that other person up. And, you know, prayer for your family and for your spouse is very important, so you guys can really, you know, take on the devil together and everything that he tries to bring to destroy your marriage and your lives, because that's what he wants to do. That's why he tries to separate people, because he knows their strength in unity. He wants to divide you. He wants you not to pray together. And I know a lot of people get a little concerned about praying together, and they're kind of shy about it. You don't have to pray for 10 hours or something. You know, just pray. Just sit down and pray a couple sentences. You know, I really try to encourage people to do that if they've never done it before. You know, just sat down with you and your spouse and just say, we're going to pray for a minute, and just pray. Just pray for each other, pray for your children, you know, whatever the case may be. Pray for your pastor and his wife, amen, you know. And just one little sentence or two, and you'll be find out just how you guys really get stronger. And then it's going to change you on the inside. Mm-hmm. It's going to change you so that you're going to start to see life a little bit differently. You know, you're going to start to see that you guys are connected together and mended together. Because as you get older, you see that life is really short. And how important it is to really grow together in Christ and to be strong.
That goes into one of the scriptures that we had. I don't know if it's, we got it up there, but Ecclesiastes 4:12. And it says, and if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. And that is it exactly. Without God, I don't know how people do it in their marriage, to tell you the truth. But we always want to be going towards the direction of God. And that's what God is saying. He wants to be that third strand. Life does not have to be a drag. I look back on all the negative stuff that we've gone through, and I can say, thank you, God, because it drew me closer to you. Thank you, God, because it's given me the life that I have right now, and it's made me the person I am, because I know what I was like. And it's just so neat, because I can say, I love my life. I am so thankful for it. But you know what? If my dad would have let me come home, I would have ran away from it, and I would have missed out on so much of it. And so it's something else that he said about prayer. Prayer creates intimacy. It lets you see the person's heart, even though sometimes their actions don't always follow. You know, what's in your heart, what you really want, doesn't always mean that your flesh and your words always say that, you know? And that's something I saw when Brad and I prayed together. I got to start seeing his heart, that he didn't want to hurt me. He did want to be a good husband, you know, just like I wanted to be a good wife, and I didn't want to, you know, always keep doing the wrong things. He kept having to, you know, correct my mess-ups. And so it's just really neat. But also prayer, like I pray with moms in prayer group of women. I'll tell you, there is an intimacy that we have just because we pray. Whoever you are praying with, it builds an intimacy. It builds a bond that nothing can break it. You have grace for those people when you pray for them. And so if you're not comfortable praying, just start little by little as a couple to pray together, because it will make a major difference in your life. It really will.
And also to be careful who you pray with.
Yeah,
don't. I don't say this in a bad way, but if you're struggling in your marriage and you're a man and you're at work and there's some woman there that's struggling in her marriage and you guys start praying together for your marriages, that sounds innocent on the outside, but you got to be careful, because you're going to get maybe a spiritual connection there that you can get in trouble with. So I would say be very careful about doing those sort of things. And like when we were just starting to date, we was careful. We prayed together a little bit, but when we got engaged, we started to pray together more, because you got to be careful that intimacy will build, and it can be kind of dangerous, you know, especially for people, you know, of the opposite sexes. So I think that's only wisdom. Mm-hmm. And you know, that third strand is so important. You know, we know that's God. We use that scripture a lot in marriages, you know. You know, I just don't know. I know we couldn't have made it without God in our marriage. When we started out, it was very tough. Like she said, the first year, we probably prayed that the other one would die. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if it's that bad. But, you know, it was just, we just were two opposite people. And we didn't have proper marriage counseling, because they thought we were
spiritual.
I'll be honest, we were very spiritual people in Bible school. We had a great reputation for what we've done. We made a very large impact on the ministries we're involved with. So I think they just took it for granted, and they didn't ask the hard questions that we should have dealt with. And that's why marriage counseling is very important, you know, to do in the proper way. But anyway, it was just, you know, a hard time. But, you know, we just hung in there, and, you know, God kept leading us and making us strong.
Can I? One of the things that really made a change, we ended up having a marriage conference that we mm-hmm. went to, and we had a huge fight. I went to a Bible study that I had with three other girls, and I told them, I'm leaving Brad, because I know divorce is not good, but it's better than suicide, and that's where I'm at.
Told you it was bad.
And so, they cried with me. They prayed with me. And they reminded me of, like, the prophecy that came out at our wedding. And I decided, okay, I'm going to go back home. And so, but I waited until 11 o'clock, because Brad went to bed at 9 o'clock at night, like clockwork. And so I just wanted to make sure he was asleep. So I was, little did I know, he had waited up. And he had called and got us connected to the last, we were the last couple to be able to go to this marriage conference, which was that weekend. And so we went to a marriage conference that weekend. So that was a shocker in the fact that he even did that. That was God. Then when we got there, we both got on our knees. And I remember you did it first. He got on his knees and he asked me to forgive him, and he repented of things. And so then I got on my knees and I repented to him. And then we asked God to give us new hearts. Amen. And that was where the start began.
Amen.
And it wasn't the cure-all, but it fixed it. You know, and then the bad times got further apart. Then they'd hit, and then you'd have to use the word, you'd have to use forgiveness, you'd have to use all that stuff, but then they got further apart. And it was just neat to see how God worked. And so forgiveness is so powerful, and it opens the door to God to move.
I'm glad we did this. I didn't remember all these stories. This is awesome, you know, in some ways. But anyway, that third strand is the fact you will have God in common. You know, we live in an ever-changing society, and marriage has been changing over the years, people's approach to it, how they look at it. You know, all these things have kind of come into commonplace, and it's even infiltrated the church a little bit. But, you know, God doesn't change. The Bible doesn't change. And so if you can keep that constant in your life and keep that as the center and the anchor and know that that's something always you can come back to, I believe, you know, you can make it. You can get to the other side and get through these things. Like she said, you know, the problems become less frequent. Because problems do come, you know, especially, I mean, like I said, we're opposites. We look at everything, not everything, not God. I mean, we're doctrinally sound together, but the idea of just any approach, I mean, it used to almost kill me to have to pick a restaurant with this woman. You know what I'm saying? Because it just, oh my gosh, I mean, just different, you know, everything. And because I'm just like, let's just do it, you know, I mean, let's make a decision. I don't want to waste brain cells on this, you know, let's just go. But, you know, but it was something just learning to live with the other person and to get through to these things, because it's so important, you know, the witness that a Christian couple can have, you know, on the world, you know, I think it's very important. And we're going to make mistakes, we still do. But, you know, it is less frequent. And I would just want to encourage you to have hope. And, you know, I've witnessed God as a pastor really heal some bad things. And I'll tell you what, this one couple, they don't go to church here, but, I mean, God's used me to save their marriage twice. I mean, I'm talking knocked down, drag, I mean, not hitting each other, but, I mean, the things they would say, I'm sitting there and I'm just going, oh, I can't fix this. But I tell you, by the process, little by little, putting the Word of God in there, and you know, they have a strong marriage now. So I want to give you hope today that no matter what's going on in your life and in your marriage, you know, God can fix this. Amen. I know you need two people to make it work. And like I said, you know, there is reasons that a couple can separate, but for the most part, you know, I would just say try to ask God to give you the grace and the strength. Because what you're going to experience is this, the fact that when you yield to God and you say, God, you know, I don't want to do this, but for you I will, and I want you to change me. You're going to see a part of God and something really move in your life that you've never have witnessed before, and it's powerful. Because if God can heal a bad marriage, I believe God can do a lot of things in your life. Amen? Amen. All right, you have anything you want to share? All right, we appreciate y'all coming out today, and we're going to close in prayer. And like I say, whichever head bowed and eye closed, I want to give an opportunity. You know, we didn't talk a lot about salvation today, but what made it all possible is why we had God in our marriage is because we invited Him first into our hearts, inviting God into your heart. You know, I went to church a year before I asked Jesus Christ to be my personal Lord and Savior. I'm slower than some, I guess, but when I did it, I did it. So I just want to give an opportunity today. If you feel the Holy Spirit perhaps touching your heart saying, you know, I'm not a Christian, you know, but I want to be. I want God on the inside working in my life. Just slip up your hand if you'd like prayer for that today. We want to be able to minister to you. Or maybe you have done it and you have fallen back from God and you just want to say, God, you know, here I am. I want to restore that relationship. So first time or restoration, I just want to give that opportunity today. It's not if you've made a mistake, but if you know that you're not where you need to be. Also, with every head bowed and eye closed, maybe your marriage isn't where it needs to be. I just want you to slip your hand up and